Hi, welcome to the Fantastic Forecast, episode 435. I'm Dave Elliott. And if you ever see a movie called Plow the Man and Iron Fister, don't watch it. It's not what you think it is. Okay, maybe it is what you think it is. In that case, enjoy. Today, the 435th issue of the Fantastic Four. It's Fantastic Four, Volume 3, Number 6, from June 1998. April is the Cruelest Month by Chris Claremont and Salvador La Roca. So we begin our story in the skyscraper headquarters of Moon Knight. Just kidding. He doesn't have a skyscraper, does he? Everyone else does. What a loser. No, we start in the skyscraper headquarters of Iron Fist, Daniel Rand, and Sue Richards is there. The opening move is yours, Iron Fist says to her. What the hell? Reed is off in Europe, hanging out with an old girlfriend, and Sue is cavorting with Iron Fist. I think making his first appearance in the pages of the Fantastic Four, if I'm not mistaken. I'm still waiting for Moon Knight to make an appearance in the FF. As of 2015, I'm still waiting. Other than a cameo appearance, in a flashback, in an annual, which hardly counts. Goes to show you how important Moon Knight is. Why am I talking about Moon Knight? So anyway, Iron Fist and Sue are fighting with each other. Sue's got an invisible staff and she's trying to hit him with it. And he's just doing little kung fu moves and stuff. Luke Cage is sitting nearby, watching, and he warns his partner that he better watch out or she'll kick his ass. Next, we see that She-Hulk is there watching, along with Misty Knight, not the porn star, but Iron Fist girlfriend. And then we see Colleen Wing, Misty's partner in the private eye firm of Nightwing Restorations. Nightwing Restorations. First of all, can they be sued by Dick Grayson for that? And second of all, Restorations doesn't sound like a private detective agency. Sounds like a company that will reupholster your couch. So the duel between Sue and Iron Fist continues, with Iron Fist grabbing Sue's staff, and she kicks him in the face. He reacts instinctively by activating his Iron Fist and shooting a bunch of energy at Sue, seemingly knocking her out. They run over to see if she's okay, and She-Hulk says they should call 911, but Sue gets up, laughing, and says that she's okay. And then later, Sue is alone at the building's indoor pool, and she's thinking to herself, "That poor dear, I really scared him. Only there for an instant, that Iron Fist of his scared the dickens out of me. I think right at the end, he held back just a tad, thank goodness. I hate to think what would happen if he'd hit me for real. Both our powers, his fist, my force field, function as extensions of our will. The key to survival is our ability to focus these energies and sustain them, the supremacy of our minds. It isn't raw enough strength that'll prove our undoing, but a fatal, unexpected distraction. Finn applies Reed with his elastic body and Johnny's flame power. Even bit,
and on and on and on.
Oh, by the way, did I mention this was written by Chris Claremont? So she dives into the pool, still thinking more stuff, when a man's hand grabs her by the ankle. It's the Submariner, and he grabs her close, and he flies up out of the water, and it looks like they're about to kiss.
Why is it? Whenever you take me in your arms, I feel like I'm walking on air, she says.
Because they're flying in the air? That's why they feel like they're walking on air. She creates an invisible platform for them to stand on, and she says she kind of wishes it were her husband sweeping off her feet instead. And as always, Namor tries to make his case. He's got more soul, more passion, and he looks better in a green Speedo. Sue says that she loves Reed with all her heart and could never betray him. And Namor says at least they can be friends, and they dive back into the pool. So later, Sue has arrived back at FF's headquarters, the warehouse, where she jogged from Iron Fist building. Is the Fantastic car in the shop? No jet cycles? Reed's flying commercial? Sue's traveling by foot? What the hell is going on? I just hope they're not redesigning the Fantastic flying bathtub again. Sue gets home and tells Johnny she thinks she was being followed by a white Range Rover. Johnny looks over and tells her it was just a police car, and that she should come inside. There's something for her to see. They get inside, and Reed is there with a whole room full of roses, which is a pleasant surprise for Sue. And Ben and Franklin are there with Alyssa Moy, Reed's old friend, which I guess won't be such a pleasant surprise for Sue. Reed says that Sue needs to go get fitted for a gown because he's going to take her dancing at the Rainbow Room for their anniversary. So anyway, we all know Reed is a terrible father. Little Franklin has been to some of the most dangerous places in the universe. The Negative Zone, Monster Island, Hell. But Reed takes Franklin to one of the most dangerous places of all, the Bronx. They've gone to go see a Yankees game that night, and at one point, a ball gets hit in their direction and Reed picks up Franklin and allows him to catch the ball. How come Franklin doesn't just use his powers, whatever those powers may be? Meanwhile, Sue goes shopping for clothes with the She-Hulk and Janet Van Dyne, the Wasp. Sue is nervous that the clothing is too outrageous and she doesn't have the looks to pull it off. Like, really? That's such an odd thing for her to say, considering that once she wore the most outrageous superhero outfit of all time. The owner of the store tells Sue that she'll hook her up with something that does justice to her courage and her beauty. The next night, Reed is dressed up in his suit, ready for his dinner with Sue. Johnny and Ben and Franklin and Alyssa are there. Why is Alyssa hanging around anyway? I don't get that. She tells him, "You are the most handsome of all the round-eyed demons." What the hell kind of compliment is that? The most handsome of all the round-eyed demons? Obviously, there's got to be something going on with Alyssa that we don't know yet. Before he leaves, she says, "Queen's Knight Pawn to Bishop 4, Level 3, Oblique." And Reed replies, "Bishop to Queen 7, Level 1, Oblique. Takes Rook. Check." They're playing some kind of game of chess in their heads. Reed heads outside to hail a taxi just as some other people are arriving. And one of them says, "We've arrived, Mother." And another says, "Secure the location. Acquire primary target." And Reed rides off in a taxi by himself. So later, Reed is at the table in the Rainbow Room when Sue arrives. I'm not sure why they came up there together, but she takes off what appears to be a fur coat. Let's hope that's fake fur. And she's wearing a sexy red dress, and they end up having a nice romantic evening together. Back at the warehouse, Ben is fixing dinner, and he brings up that game of chess that Alyssa and Reed have been playing. She mentions that Reed made a mistake. In 6 moves, she'll have him in checkmate, which means something is wrong with Reed. Before his encounter with Crucible, he would have never made such a mistake. Or maybe he's just preoccupied and horny for his date with Sue and doesn't give a damn about his stupid game of chess with Alyssa. But she insists something is wrong. So Ben is cooking with eggs, and one of the eggs starts to break open by itself, and out pops Tweety Bird from the Tweety and Sylvester cartoons? No joke. And I complained about Scott Lobdell's choice of villains. This, I have to say, is ridiculous. I know Marvel and DC had a lot of strange crossovers in the 1990s, but this must be the strangest. "Prepare to meet your doom," the little bird says, and tells them that they have earned the wrath of hard-boiled Henwee. Okay, it's not Tweety Bird, but still, not scary at all. Reed grabs the bird and tells Alyssa to take Franklin to his folks. Alyssa points out that it's only a talking chick. How dangerous can it be? Ben notices a timer on the bird's head, and soon, it's a bird bomb! Oh, I hate bird bombs. Next we see Alyssa and Franklin, and they've been surrounded by a group of weird freaks. They're like they're like villains from the Chris Claremont issues of Excalibur, and they include Numbers, Joy Boy, Scatterbrain, China Doll, Ring Toss, Body Bag, which is a great name for a bad guy, Thug, and Gatecrasher. They're a group of bounty hunters called Tech Neck, and they've come for Franklin Richards. Gatecrasher says they have a warrant for the extradition of Franklin to the Prime Continuum. But then, Ben shows up, and it's clobbering time. Alyssa runs off with Franklin while Tech Neck deals with the Thing. One of the bounty hunters, Joy Boy, has the ability to grant Ben's fondest desire, which is to turn back into a human being, which is what happens, leaving Ben in a very vulnerable state, holding up his giant boxers. He manages to kick Joy Boy in the head, which counteracts his powers, and he turns back into the Thing again. So as Ben continues to fight Tech Neck, we cut back and forth with Reed and Sue, who are still having a nice time on their date. But Ben isn't having such a nice time. He gets made smaller by China Doll, his brains are scattered by Scatterbrain, and he's bagged up and held captive by Body Bag. Alyssa tries to call 911, but one of the bounty hunters comes over and destroys the phone, and Alyssa runs off into the night, still clutching Franklin. And the issue ends with Reed thanking Sue for one of the most memorable and wonderful nights of his life. I think he spoke too soon. The night ain't over yet! Coming next time, Alyssa is on the run in New York City. Can she escape from Technic? And the Warwolves? Reed's date with Sue continues. Will he get lucky? Or will Sue lose her lady boner when she finds out what happened to Franklin? And will Franklin use his powers to contact anyone for help? If he can, I mean, what exactly are his powers? Does Chris Claremont even know yet? Has he even decided what they are yet? Will Chris Claremont be able to include even more villains from Excalibur? Oh yes, he can. The next issue will be lousy with characters from Excalibur. So if you have any questions about the Fantastic Four, about this podcast, or if you need relationship advice, you can email me at podcastff@gmail.com. You can download other episodes at iTunes or find them all at www.podcastff.podbean.com. So long, kids. This podcast is over. The supreme dream team always up with a scheme. From hubcap to selling raps, name the theme. Mirage to the top, floating on the screen. Who the hell wanna stop me?